We hope you receive a blessing from this message given to us through Pastor Donald K. Short.
I hope you were all present at the two meetings we've had so far today. And if you were present at the 11 o'clock meeting, really, this old man could take a rest this hour. And you could go back and digest what you heard this morning. I shall try to fill in a few little crevices. And first I turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And trying to check up on Simeon, he was a layperson, not a priest. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. What was the consolation of Israel? The coming of the Messiah. And the Holy Ghost was on him. He had heavenly insight. God give us many church members today with heavenly insight. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This summer we went to a wedding of our granddaughter, our eldest grandchild. And we had the privilege of our son traveling with us in our little camper. And when it was all over, I said, "Son, your parents have reached the age when anything can happen. But we still hope to live to see the Lord come." Amen. And this man here, Simeon, had this hope that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed him and said, now this is the speech of Simeon, and who is in his arms? The Lord Jesus as an infant. Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared from the face of all people. How many people? Oh, there it is again, friends. It's full. The Bible is full of it. For all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, and here we have a semblance of the great sanctuary truth. This child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. Why? That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Here was the infant in the arms of Simeon, and there's a prophecy there of what he would do in revealing the thoughts and the intents of every one of our hearts. And that we had brought to us very wonderfully in the 11 o'clock service. Now, the church needs today thousands and thousands of Simeonites led by the Holy Spirit who have perception, who are living to see the Lord come. This fall and this rising has to do with God searching our hearts. All right. At the beginning of the 2300 years, ancient Israel was called where? Out of Babylon. Yes. To restore a literal sanctuary. And some hesitated to go. It's pretty nice there. Do you know, friends, at the end of the 2300 days, God is also calling a people where? Out of Babylon. There's a parallel. Called out of spiritual Babylon to make plain the plan of salvation. But what? Today, many hesitate to come out of Babylon. James White said it's easy enough to be called out of Babylon, but to get Babylon out of us is the problem God faces. With profound spiritual insight, the little book of Haggai brings to our vision. Haggai 2:9, he said, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former." And he was looking there at that temple in Jerusalem. Not the stones, not the marble, not the splendor of the building, but that the glory of this latter house would be greater than the former. Well, what was really the glory of the latter house? Christ came there, yes. And you know, there's a parallel. The glory of God's latter house, and we read about it there in Corinthians, the glory of this latter house will be greater than any glory the earth has ever seen, according to Revelation 18:1. We are that temple. Haggai's prophecy was lost on Israel. When the Messiah came, stood in the temple, God's people didn't recognize him. And they'd had 4,000 years of training. But when the real Lamb came, they failed the examination. The question we need to face as a people is, what do we see as glory? Acceptance by others? Institutions of renown? Somebody carrying the torch to the Olympic Games? Getting in the news? Important positions held by Seventh-day Adventists? Thousands baptized? What do we see as the glory that the Lord wants this Israel of the end to have? Pray for Israel, friends. The glory of the Jerusalem temple was Christ and the truth he spoke. You remember the people, the administrators, those who had a say, sent the soldiers to bring Christ back. And they came back and their hands were empty. Why? What did they say? Never a man spake like this man. And these soldiers of Caesar, hardened men of the world, they were entranced by what Jesus said. Beloved, the world is waiting to hear a message, the word of God, which will reach heart. Not methods, no, truth. as Jesus spoke truth. Christ's words of truth foreshadowed the early reign and launched the church. It is the pure truth of the gospel that precedes the latter reign. God cannot put dynamite in the hands of children. And that is what the power of the latter reign contains. All the types and shadows of ancient Israel were but a lesson for modern Israel to learn the whole truth of the gospel, which must include Christ's work in the sanctuary. Now, for 4,000 years, the center of the Hebrew life was the sanctuary. Everything was built around it. As they traveled in the wilderness, it was in the center of the camp. And when they finally built the real temple there in Jerusalem, it was the hub of the nation. Now, friends, we have in recent times had quite a few words saying, forget the sanctuary, we don't need it. Put it behind you. I would suggest to you, friends, this afternoon that the sanctuary service began in the Garden of Eden. And that was referred to here this morning by Elder Snaiman. The sanctuary service began there. And the first lamb that was slain to provide clothing for the nakedness of Adam and Eve. And friends, according to Revelation 3, the Lord has a beautiful garment to cover the nakedness of the seventh church. Yes. A garment woven in heaven with not a thread of human devising in it. Well, even the nations around Israel sensed that there was something special about this sanctuary. It was kind of the email center of communication for the whole nation. And the heathen around Israel sensed that when they messed around with the utensils of the sanctuary, they got in trouble. There was something special here. The sanctuary brought a message to God's people, and every article in the tabernacle contained some symbology to help them get a better hold of God's plan to save all men. And you know, we as a people should be humbled to realize what sets us apart from all movements in the earth. And what is it? The sanctuary truth. No one else has it. And where it tells us there in Romans 3 that the Lord had a special regard for the Jews, why? He gave them the oracles, and we are the Jews. Why? Because if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. And into our hands has been placed the oracles of this fabulous truth. What a blessing. The single most important truth that emerged from the great disappointment was what? The sanctuary truth. It's time for the sanctuary to be cleansed, for us to understand the crushing of the serpent's head. That was on the screen for you here this morning. How long will it be before God's people recognize their selfish motives? When will we stop praying, Lord, be sure and give us a piece of real estate in the New Jerusalem? I'd like to have a house there on Golden Boulevard. Just please remember, Lord. And almost every routine Adventist prayer closes with this reminder, Lord, be sure. Friends, this afternoon, can you remember Christ took 7 steps from that golden street down to hell for us? Can we appreciate it? He left the mansions And we're clamoring to get the mansions. Can we appreciate his condescension in our behalf? As Abraham's seed, we have a responsibility. Why? Because each one of us has an Isaac that needs to be offered up. You remember the story, don't you? Yes. It wasn't easy for Abraham. He was so worried he packed up and left and didn't even tell his wife, "We're gone." And of course, had his wife known, what would she have said? Obviously, she would have said much, yes. But no, he packed up and left to offer Isaac, the dearest thing to his heart. How long had he waited to get Isaac? 100 years, yes. We have an Isaac, too, to be offered up. That thing that is the dearest to your heart needs to be laid on the altar. And what happened in that instance? The Lord supplied another offering, didn't he? Yes. And friends, if you lay your all on the offering, the Lord will come back with a blessing 1,000 times greater than that thing that you gave up. We will never sing the song of Moses and the Lamb until we understand what it means to be blotted out of the book. That was Moses' understanding. Take me out of the book, Lord. I go with the people. And that is a type of Christ. We are written in the book. The book is Christ himself. And throughout eternal ages, if there's ever any question, you'll be able to look at the book and the record will be where? In the hands of Christ. That, friends, is where we're written for all eternity. Like Moses, God's people will have a corporate love for truth and honor that will not flinch in the face of any problem that comes to us in this old world. Now, when Cain rejected the sanctuary service and slew his brother, he sent an email message to heaven, boom, like that. What am I talking about? The Lord says, hey, his blood is talking to me. I see it. You can't hide it. Why? Because blood is the thing that heaven understands. Blood is the legal tender of heaven. It's the thing of value. It's the thing upon which God's kingdom is based. His blood cries out from the heaven, from the ground. Heaven knows the language of blood. And the entire sanctuary service was built on blood. That's what the priest used every time he went into the tabernacle. Now there's an interesting sidelight to this. In the Hebrew language, the word for, or there's a connection here between Adam and earth and blood and red. And in the Hebrew, the word for blood is, Hebrew scholar here somewhere, D-A-M, Dam. What's the name of the first man on this world? Adam. Blood, Adam. One and the same. Mankind, sons of Adam. And in even our Swahili language, the word for blood is damu. Get the connection? The same root. Well, when you have communion, what do you drink? Grape juice. What color is it? Red. How do we get it? By crushing the grapes. Christ was crushed by the weight of our sins, and the plan of salvation was established. And that's why he said, if you will come after me, do what? Take up your cross and come with me. The cross stands for only one thing, death. It's not a symbol. It's not a talisman. It's not something to put on top of churches. The cross stands for death. Death of who? Death of Christ and death of me. We go together to the cross. We are resurrected together with Christ. And the horror of this whole thing came home to Adam when he had to slay that first beast, the lamb. He caught only a dim glimpse of what this all was about. He lived 900 years. And every century, the people of the world, his children, if you please, came back and said, you made all this trouble for us. It was a great blessing when Adam could go into the grave. Now, eventually, we get around to the Exodus 25:8, and the Lord said what? Make me sanctuary so I can dwell with you. When we understand the sanctuary service and the atonement, we will understand the machinery of the human heart and its slavery to sin. Now, Jeremiah tells us the heart is what? Deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? There's not one of us here today that knows our heart in its utter depravity. It just hasn't yet dawned upon us. When we understand this, I think we will have an empathy for sinners that at the moment we're not too sure. Too bad they took the wrong road. What can I do about it? Friends, you will see every drunkard on the street and recognize you would be that drunkard if it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ. This will put a new mold on the church, folks. The departments, the programs, the psychology, the drama will die. We will not be selling a product packaged for buyers of egocentric desires. There will be no bumper sticker appeal. The final atonement is not an event superimposed on a catalog of methods. What is the final atonement? What was it back there on the Day of Atonement? It was the day to blot out sin. And the cleansing of the sanctuary is the final revelation of the mystery of godliness, hid from ages past. And Satan plans to keep this in darkness just as long as he can. But it will be revealed. You shall know the truth, and what will it do for you? Set you free. A century ago, friends, in 1888, the Lord tried to win the affections of his people. And he sent to us what we have continued to call, what Sister White called it, a most precious message. It was to prepare people for translation. And what does that mean? To walk straight out of this old world into the kingdom in the presence of the living, almighty God. Contemplate, friends, what the sanctuary truth is to do, to blot out sin. Now, we had reference this morning to A.T. Jones, and I want to bring you another one along the same line. General Conference Bulletin, page 404. in 1893. The Lord will probe into our hearts and bring up sins that we never thought of before. That only shows that he's going down to the depths, and he will reach the bottom at last. He cannot put the seal, the impress of his perfect character upon us until he sees it there. And so he has got to dig down to the deep places we never dreamed of, because we cannot understand our hearts. And I hope, friends, in your personal experience, this week you can see some things you couldn't see last week. And I hope last week you could see some things you couldn't see last year. And as the Lord trims this closer and closer to the quick, may we say, thank you, Lord. We're glad for the work of the Holy Spirit to dig down, and what does he say? To the very bottom. Bring all of this out. Throw it in the trash heap. I hope the Holy Spirit is doing this for us. Now we've got the classic example in the Bible of a man who thought he was on the right track. And he was sure that no matter what happened, and he said, even unto death, Lord, even if you die, I'm going to go with you. Make no mistake. I'll never deny you. We all know what happened. Peter didn't know his own heart. Now, there's another part of this story that we don't often get a hold of, and that's in verse 35 of Matthew 26. It says that all of the others did the same thing. Who were the others? The disciples, yes. The disciples followed in the footsteps of Peter and said the same thing, but they, as a group, did not know their heart. But it had happened before in Peter's experience. And we've got a new translation of the New Testament called The Message by Peterson. And this is what he puts down as the words of Jesus on this day when Peter took Christ, physically grabbed him, said, Lord, this can't be. We'll call a committee. We'll take this to the conference. We'll do something. We'll get out of this jam. You're not going to the cross. Here's the way this new translation puts it. Get out of my way, Satan. Get lost. You have no idea how God works. That's language we can understand, yes. The cleansing of the sanctuary is to make us know God's ways. This cleansing is the work remaining for Laodicea, and it involves repentance. Laodicea didn't know her unconscious sin. You remember Christ said, destroy this temple in what? 3 days. I'll bring it back. His bride stands beside him, must have a similar experience. Paul said in Corinthians, know ye not what? What's the temple of God? Your body is the temple. Ye are the temple of God. The temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are? Now, they had the law, didn't they? Where was it? All the time they traveled through the wilderness, children of Israel had the law? Yes. Where was it? In a box. Yes. In the ark. What good was it there? No. What good was it there? God had a better plan. Hebrews 10:6. This is the covenant I will make with you after those days. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Back in 1958, when I was trying to put some words together and make a thesis which would satisfy the professors, and enabled me to finish what was then called an MA course. 1958, we were on furlough from Africa, and I came across this marvelous statement in Desire of Ages, page 161. From eternal ages, it was God's purpose that every created being should be a temple for the indwelling of the Creator. How long did he have that plan? From eternal ages, that every created being should be a temple for the indwelling of the Creator. They twain shall be one. Because of sin, humanity ceased to be a temple. Darkened, defiled by evil, the heart of man no longer revealed the glory of the Divine One. But, here, take heart, but by the incarnation of the Son of God, that means Jesus became a member of the human family. But by the incarnation of the Son of God, the purpose of heaven is fulfilled, and God dwells in humanity. And through saving grace, the heart of man becomes again his temple. So what he's wanted to do from all eternity, friends, he will do. That's the promise here. In cleansing the temple from the world's buyers and sellers, Jesus announced his mission to cleanse the heart from defilement of sin. Now at the crucifixion, another little sidelight. You remember what happened in the temple? Something spectacular. The veil was rent from where? Top to the bottom. From heaven to earth, it was rent. And what had been hidden through all of the years was now open. The whole world could see what was there. This was new and unique from top to bottom. In 1844, a new work was to be done, something never before attempted. And the text is where? Daniel 8:14. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say perhaps. It shall be cleansed. The sanctuary is to be cleansed. If what Jesus said is true, that his body was a temple, and if what Paul said is true, that we are a temple, there is open before us, friends, a grand and glorious truth that the Lord wants to cleanse us. The work in heaven can never be completed until there is a complementary work in our own heart. No longer will we be embarrassed in God's presence like Adam and Eve were. That's the first thing they did when they sinned was what? Run and hide from God. Remember, why did they hide? The Lord came back looking for them. What'd they say? We don't have anything on, Lord. Yeah, we're stripped. What does he say about Laodicea? Nothing on. But we can be clothed because he gives us the garment. Why is the world afraid to talk about religion? Why is religion a private thing? Because there's a hidden enmity against God. Why do so many Seventh-day Adventists come into church and take the back seat? Think about it. There's a hidden enmity against God. And that's the form it takes. But as that veil in the temple was rent, friends, at last the veil of our hearts will be rent, and we'll rejoice. We'll rejoice in the very presence of God in the most holy place. There'll be a union there. Now, for years, we've been praying for the latter rain. 1950 on our first furlough from Africa. Brother Wieland and Brother Short were at that session. And at the close of the session, we went home with two goals. One, double the church membership. Two, get the Holy Spirit. What year did I say? 1950, 60, 70, 80, 90. Would anyone dare say that the latter rain has fallen on the church? No. So we are still waiting. Because when the Lord tried to send the latter rain in 1888, we closed the door and insulted the Holy Spirit. That little red book that's back there takes us up. What did the former rain do in the days of Christ? It grabbed a hold of the disciples and shook them up. And they were in that upper room. We can believe they were going over everything that they'd had in their experience. And the former rain, it changed everything. And for the church as a whole, the former rain tore down 4,000 years of types and shadows. Is that right? Yes. Finished. The latter rain will tear down all that Babylon has built up in 6,000 years, including all the idols that we have in our own modern Israel. That's what it'll do. I've referred a number of times in past conferences to Albert Einstein. 1905, he wrote those little numbers, E equals MC squared, 1900. And in those little, that little symbol, there was an embryonic atomic bomb. It was there in those letters and numbers. That was in 1905. And that remained just symbols on papers for 40 years. And in 1945, those symbols became the atomic bomb that destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Friends, God has given to his people the formula of truth that will shine brighter than an atomic bomb, than the sun itself, the glory that the world is waiting to see. In 1848, the Adventist believers held 6 Bible conferences that established the landmarks of the remnant church. What happened? 40 years later in 1888, the Lord sent the message that was to wind up the work. It was to be the atomic bomb of glory and light to destroy sin and to take God's people home. But the trouble is, the formula remains simply symbols on paper. We have not yet taken a hold, but the sanctuary shall be cleansed. The divine service that began in the Garden of Eden will do its work. Our great high priests slew the first sacrifice. The rejection of the sanctuary truth led to the first murder. The same rejection and misunderstanding of the sanctuary truth led to the supreme sin of the ages, which was what? To put Christ on the cross. But it provided us with the legal tender of heaven so that we can buy, friends, we can buy anything and everything that heaven has to offer. It's been put in our hands. This gold from heaven purchased for us a garment of righteousness, righteousness by faith. Revelation 21:3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The work of the cross is complete for all eternity. May that come soon.
Amen.
Shall we pray? Kind Father in heaven, we've read that from eternal ages it was the plan of heaven that our Creator should dwell with us and be one with us, and that we understand His love, His sacrifice. Bring home to our hearts what the Holy Spirit would like to do now. Help us to accept the call of the true witness to repent, that the sanctuary of our hearts may be cleansed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.